Good to have everybody this morning. Are you ready to worship? Do you love Jesus? Well, guess what? He loves you. So let's pray. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit into this place. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you not only say you love us, but you demonstrated it on the cross. Send your Holy Spirit into this place. Would you stir us? Would you change us today? Would you allow us, Father, whatever is going on in our lives, whatever we drug in here today, may we be freed from that. May we leave in freedom. Your word says that it is for freedom that you've set us free. So you want us to walk in that freedom. So, Father, would you come and do that for us? Would our praises please you as they lift high the name of Jesus? In his name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.
Morning, church. We praise the Lord for rain. We kind of had to figure out what's going on. There's water falling out of the sky, right? What is that? But we praise God for that. And I want you to just turn to your neighbor real quick on each side of you and say, I'm really glad you're here this morning. As we continue in worship, I want you to know that Jesus is glad you're here this morning. Amen. And we have a Savior that we can trust and we can lean on in the ups and the downs of life. Amen. He's always there for us. So this morning I'm going to encourage us as the body of Christ in this place. Let's give the very best of our focus, our attention, the love from the deepest part of our heart. Let's offer it up to a God who is more than worthy of our praise this morning. You know, He will never fail us. Well, I count on one thing. The same God that never fails, He will not fail me now. You won't fail. Children, come forward for your children's message at this time.
Good morning, good morning. Ah, how cool is that? Welcome, welcome. Good morning. What a blessed morning to have you here with me this morning. Have you started going to school?
Yes.
Why do we send you to school? Why do you go to school?
To learn.
To learn, right? Because do you know everything?
No.
No, not yet. You don't know everything yet. Well, I even came with some questions to see if you knew everything. All right. What is the largest animal on earth? Go ahead, yell that. Blue whale. You agree? Other thoughts? What?
Beluga whale.
Beluga whale. Elephant. It is indeed the blue whale. All right, my next question. What land animal can open its mouth the widest? Just yell out your answers.
Crocodile.
Crocodile.
Alligator.
Alligator.
Fox.
Lion. It's the hippopotamus. All right, next one. What is the largest big cat?
Lion.
Tiger.
Cheetah.
Lion. It's the tiger. Okay, my last question. Why do sea otters hold hands? Very close to the right answer. Exactly. You got to get it so they don't float away when they're sleeping. Can you imagine just being asleep and you float away from everyone else?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. All right. So obviously we don't know everything. Does God go to school?
No.
No? Why doesn't God go to school?
He knows everything
already. I got to reading, and I'm like, God knows everything. And then I got a reading out of Psalms, chapter 139, 1 through 4. And it says, "You have searched for me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely." And out of those four verses, I'm here. This is what I know God knows about all of us. He knows when you are sitting down and when you stand up, each and every time. He knows every thought and word you are going to say before you say it. And that's for all of us. And he knows everything that you think and everything that you do. He knows everything. Absolutely everything. So then I got to thinking, well, sometimes I don't know if I want God to know everything I think and do. Do you behave all the time?
No.
No. Do you have nice thoughts all the time?
Yes.
Yes. Sometimes. Yeah, not all the time. And so my thought is that God is the same all the time. And does he love me? Yes. Does he love me when I make mistakes? Does he love you when you make mistakes? Does he know that you're going to make a mistake?
Yes.
Does he still love you anyway, even though you made the mistake? Yes. Does he know that the words that are going to come out of your mouth are not going to be nice? So, but he's going to love us anyway. Now, it doesn't mean he doesn't want us to improve on that. It's so that the words coming out of our mouth are nicer more often and that we are just kinder more often. And that same with true in school. I mean, does he know that maybe you might fail a class or a test here and there? Does he still love you even if you don't pass the grade or pass the test? He's constant. He loves you no matter what. Those two truths, God knows everything and he loves you no matter what. Those are two truths that you can lean into no matter how difficult things get during your school year. Even if you're not ones who forgive very easily, God always forgives, huh? He does. Each and every time, he loves you. He loves you. It's a given. You don't have to do anything for it. It is a gift he freely gives. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we go through our day, we praise you and thank you for our enduring love, for your enduring love. Help us not to worry when we fail, but instead to know deep within our soul the truth that your love is unconditional. In Jesus' most holy name, amen.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have you join us online as we worship together this morning. If you want to register your attendance, you can do that through the app. A couple things coming up that are in your bulletin. I just want to hit them real quick. Our Wednesday night ministry start again this Wednesday night, meal at 5. Adult groups, children's ministry, and youth ministry at 6. And we advertise that this is the best $3 meal on the planet. Probably the only $3 meal on the planet, but they're one and the same. Our men's breakfast moving forward, we're going to start meeting on the second Saturday of each month. We're going to rotate for a while between our location and Wiley Baptist. So we'll be at Wiley Baptist on the 10th of September, all church meeting on the 11th, very important meeting. And ladies, if you'll focus on the insert in the bulletin about the Aspire event, if you want to attend that, just go ahead and you can pay for your ticket through our app, through PushPay, and then those will be available the week of the event. So ladies, get geared up for that. Let's stand, if you're able, and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning during the early service, we prayed for rain. Thank the Lord for the rain. Prayed for him to bring more. Also, we prayed for our nation, prayed for the church, that God would use us for his glory. I feel like I need to go a little different direction this service. I think we need to pray for people who need prayer, who are struggling this morning with whatever. Illness, just being overwhelmed with life. You know, Jeff's going to preach on burdens this morning, and I think the invitation that he will share is for us to lay those burdens down. And so this may be a little preemptive strike, Jeff, but I believe we need to go there this morning, if that's okay. So if you need prayer, I'm just going to ask you to just to stand. We'd like to surround you and pray over you and pray that God would touch the need. So anybody need prayer, please feel free to stand. Amen. Amen. Church, this is an incredibly safe place. Incredibly safe place. You know, if we have an undiagnosed illness, we'll go to the ER a lot of times. And, you know, when we go there, we won't just hang out in the lobby, right? We will engage the people, the nurses at the desk, to try to figure out what's going on with us. And that's kind of the viewpoint I have at church. We bring those needs in, but then we don't engage the Lord and give him an opportunity to bring freedom. So, anybody else? All right, church, if you're close to one of these, if you don't mind, let's surround them and lay hands on them. And I'm just going to ask if somebody in your circle feels comfortable, just launch out in prayer. We'll let that go on for a minute or so, and then I'll close it. So just begin to intercede over them. just have to imagine that the prayers of the saints are precious music to your ears. And Lord, you know full well the circumstances behind those who are asking for prayer, and even though they may not have spoken that need, Lord, I know you're ministering to that need just by them reaching up to you. Your word says, Lord, if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And I can just, I don't know, in the spiritual realm, I just sense you're drawing near to those, to these. So, Lord, we just pray that you do something in their lives that's substantial, it's supernatural, it's life-changing. Lord, I pray for financial provision for those who need financial provision. I pray for peace for those who are missing or where peace might be absent. I pray for comfort where comfort is missing. I pray for joy where there's discouragement. Lord, I pray for a great exchange to take place this morning. A garment of praise for a spirit of despair. Lord, touch your people. Heal that need in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness. Jesus, I just thank you for the abundant life you won for us on the cross. And the enemy is very good at keeping us from enjoying what you won for us, experiencing what you won for us. God, I pray against his activity this morning in the lives of those who are in need. Fathers, as we continue to worship, as Jeff preaches about burdens, I just pray that you convict us of our need to lay things down before you, Jesus. Have your way this morning. Bless us so we can be a blessing to others. Free us so we can be free to minister to others. And we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for touching those this morning that have stood. Father, we cherish the opportunities to pray, and we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to remind you, church, of our giving opportunities. You can give online. You can text to give. Also, our offering boxes are by the two entrances into the sanctuary. Thank you again for your faithfulness.
You know that last song we sang, I Speak Jesus. Did you know, we preached on this a few weeks ago, that name is not just a name. There's power in the name of Jesus. That spiritual power in the name of Jesus. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever, and we'll talk more about burdens today, but whatever you struggle with, speak the name of Jesus over that struggle. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are our guest this morning, we are really glad you're here. And I mean that. It's not just something I say every week. I really mean that. We are glad that you're here. Hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel the love of His people in this place. If no one has spoken to you, come see me. I'll speak to you. Hopefully our people are speaking to you. Sometimes we've got so many new people coming into church here. Sometimes people that have been here a while is like, I don't want to. It's embarrassing. They may have been here for 6 months. I don't know if I'll. Just go for it, man. Don't worry about that. Just jump in there. Like, I'm not sure if we've met, but just go for it. If you are our guest this morning, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out, and I would love to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer after the service. I have a free gift for our first-time guests. And also, as Billy mentioned earlier, welcome to our live stream audience. We pray you have the Holy Spirit in your home as well. So turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. You know, a good friend of mine reminded me that likes to make the red letter stuff, highlight the red letter stuff in your Bible. When Jesus speaks, we should listen, huh? I mean, all of God's Word, we should listen. But when Jesus speaks, it ought to get our attention. These are the words of Christ, Matthew 11, verse 28. Here's what Jesus says to us. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you and we trust in your word that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be there also. And so, Lord, we're here. We're gathered in your name. So, Holy Spirit, come and may you speak to us in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm continuing the sermon series that I started a couple of weeks ago, Jesus, Lord of all. Now, to be Lord, as we've talked about, means that we surrender control to Him, that He's in charge. And what happens is, I think with most of us, we let Him have maybe most of us, most of the areas of our life, we like, okay, Lord, you can be Lord of that. But in last week, we talked, and it's getting ugly again. Was he Lord of this? That was last week. So if you're here today, you missed. I mean, you know, you can watch it online. But so the first week we talked about is he Lord of our time, how we spend our time, and last week, is he Lord of our stuff? I love that word, stuff. One of my favorite words. Today's message, Lord of my burdens. Lord of my burdens. I have two daughters that some of you know, many of you know. My youngest daughter, she, from a very young age, I told her she made the sermon today, Jordan. See the beads of sweat that pops up on the forehead when I say that. So, from a very young age, Jordan could do anything. At 2 years old, I'd be putting a wagon together in the living room, and Jordan would, Daddy, let me do it. And I'd hand her a wrench. Have at it, girl. And after a while of frustration, she'd hand me the wrench back and say, Daddy, you do it. And she gave birth to an offspring. Her name is Sage. And she's a little mini-me. She thinks that she can do everything. She's four, right? Three. I'm anticipating. She's three. And we have this exercise bike in my office at home, and it makes a really good clothes rack for me. But it's one of those exercise bikes that you sit on. It's a stationary bike. You sit on it, and it has the little levers that do this, and it's got the wheel that turns, and it kind of throws some air on you and stuff. It keeps you cool. And my grandson, who is six, can sit on it, and he can do pretty good. Well, little sister thinks that she can do it, and the bike is taller than she is. And so I'm like, Sagey, you're too little. I'm not too little. I can do it. And it's amazing. She gets those feet and the pedals, and in the what should be right here is up here. And as the pedal goes down, this one, you know, this hand kind of comes, well, this one holds, and this one kind of comes off of it. And then she's working it like this. But she gets it done. I can do it myself. Anybody in the sanctuary, either you're the I can do it myself person, or you have one of those little rugrats running around. Anybody? I can do it myself. How many times do we say that to the Lord? When we talk about the burdens that we carry, Lord, I can do it myself. I know, most of the stuff, I really appreciate your help, Lord, but I can handle this one myself. I'm just thinking through some of the different burdens that we might carry. The list is really kind of endless, but here's just a few things that popped into my head. Fear of circumstances, fear of the future, shame, guilt, perhaps anger, which unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, all that kind of, those kind of feed each other, resentment. I can do it myself, Lord. Grief, unbearable grief. Loneliness, regret. I mean, the list is endless. The things that we can tell the Lord, I can do it myself. And the Lord has a different message for us. You don't have to do it yourself. So I'm going to jump right in to this passage that we just read today. For Jesus to be Lord of your burdens, we must realize that Jesus offers an invitation to most people. Oh, that's not right. To all. Jesus says, come to me all. What he's indicating is, you may think that you're going to bypass the burden category, church. But you're not. Because guess what? This world is tough. And it doesn't always go smoothly, even for those of us in Christ. Maybe even sometimes because of those of us in Christ. We have even additional things that we struggle with. Jesus says, come to me all. And Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. Just got word, I saw it yesterday in the paper, and Irene shared with me, one of her prior students in Clyde, teacher in Clyde, yesterday. He's 43 and his wife was 38, and they were killed in a motorcycle accident on I-20 yesterday. Had a senior daughter and a sophomore son. Gray Electric was his company in Clyde. It's like that quick, life changes for those kids. In this world, you will have trouble. And Jesus is saying, you're going to have trouble. Come to me. All of you, come to me when you're dealing with these things, when the struggles, the trials of this life, come to me, all of you. Secondly, this passage tells us, for Jesus to be Lord of our burdens, we must realize that Jesus invites us to trust Him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. When I think about the Lord, this analogy came to me this week. May not be a good one, but it's really struck me. Have you ever seen those videos where they find the little stray dog that usually their hair's a mess, and a lot of times there's all kinds of medical things going on with the dog, and someone will find the dog and they'll rescue the dog and they'll clean the dog up and they'll try to nurture it back to health, and it usually is a positive outcome. But I've seen videos where the person rescuing this dog, the dog had been so wounded and so oppressed and maybe abused that the dog didn't trust any human being. And I've seen videos where the rescuer literally for weeks will spend time in the dog bed. I've seen where the dog, even if you reach out to try to pet the dog, they growl at you. And I've seen this one video where this rescuing person sat in the dog bed and just sat beside the dog for weeks and letting the dog know, I'm safe, I'm okay, you can trust me. And over a period of time, eventually the person could reach up and kind of stroke the dog's head. And eventually the dog would be reborn. The dog would be totally transformed. And you know what a dog does when they're surrendering to someone? They roll over and expose their belly. Like, I'm surrendering. I trust you. That's what Jesus is telling us. Come to me. If you're weary and burdened, you can trust me. And if you can, I know this is kind of weird. I'm a weird person. But if you can imagine yourself spiritually rolling over and exposing your belly to the Lord and just saying, Lord, I trust you. I am. I'm carrying all this junk that you've said that we don't have to carry. And I'm exposing myself to you. I am surrendering to you because I trust you. Psalmist says in Psalm 34, the righteous cry out, the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you've ever been brokenhearted, if you've ever felt crushed in spirit, the Lord draws near to you. That's his whole heart. Which leads me to the third point here. For Jesus to be Lord of our burdens, we must realize that Jesus offers a pathway to himself. He calls us unto himself because he is trustworthy and because he loves us, but he offers us this path to himself. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So if you, a yoke is you put over your head and with people or animals, it fits over the head and it's designed to carry weight. And what Jesus is saying is, take it off, put it on me, let me carry it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. God has given us Jesus, who has offered us a pathway unto himself, because he said, come to me all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And as Jesus was launching his ministry, and he read from Isaiah, he read these words. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Now listen to the comfort and the brokenness that God is dealing with in this passage as Jesus launches his ministry. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. The heart of Christ is he's saying, he's given us this invitation, come to me if you're weary and burdened, come to me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, upon you, because my burden is light. One of my favorite passages when someone is hurting, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. God is this God of comfort, and he has provided Jesus. He's provided this path for us to be comforted. But here's the problem. I can do it myself. Is this on? I can do it myself, Lord. I can handle that anger, Lord. I can handle that grief, Lord. I can handle that shame, Lord. I can do it myself. And so the Lord is saying, come to me. He's trustworthy. He will carry our burden. He will heal our burden. And then finally, that comes with a promise. For Jesus to be Lord of our burdens, we must realize that Jesus provides a promise. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Man, is that good news, church? We talked about speaking the name of Jesus over things in our lives. How about just embracing what Christ has done for us? He gives us a promise that he will give us rest. I see people sometimes, and sometimes these people are really hard to love, or even sometimes really hard to like. You ever go to the grocery store and see somebody that really, they're really kind of hard to even like you, much less love you? You're thinking of me, aren't you, Robert? Well, I love you anyway. But Jesus, those people that are really hard to like, man, I think most of the time they're just wounded. They're just hurting. And it's coming out in being a really persnickety, you like that word? Persnickety person. And we got to see beyond that. Jesus provides us a promise to give us rest. He also goes on to say in John 14, peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give you. Now, I do not give as the world gives. So the world's peace is like this. If I got plenty of money, I got a good job, everybody likes me, my family's healthy, we're all healthy, everything's good, that's the peace the world offers. Jesus says, no, that's not the kind of peace I'm talking about. I'm talking about my peace. My peace that transcends circumstances, transcends doctor's diagnosis, transcends our bank account, transcends all of these different things, the losses in our life. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, Jesus said. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In World War II, I just read this past week. In World War II, the Marines were in the Navy. They were kind of working their way, the U.S. Marines and Navy, they were working their way through the Pacific, and they were taking over these little islands kind of as they were working their way to Japan. And there was an island of Saipan, and the Marines overtook this island, and the Japanese army saw that they were defeated, and they commanded the people of this island to throw themselves off this cliff, this particular cliff, where there was very high and rocks below. And they commanded them, you're to throw yourself off this cliff. And the U.S. Forces got just close enough where they had a PA where they could be heard by the people up on the cliff. And they had a translator. And here's, they said three words, come and live. We're trying to communicate. You don't have to throw yourself off this cliff. You don't have to die. It's safe. It's okay. Come and live. That's the heart of Jesus. He's saying to us, you don't have to struggle with this junk anymore. You don't have to carry it around. Come and live. Come, all who are weary and burdened. Some on that island. Some came. Most didn't. Jesus is calling us. He's saying, come and live. Come and I'll take your burdens. Our response too many times is, I can do it myself, Lord. He's saying, come and live. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. You know, I've used this analogy before, but I work with stained glass. Haven't in a while, but I have worked quite a bit with stained glass. And I have a work table that I do a lot of my pieces on. It's about the size of this podium. And I'm just picturing this. And I have to bring the glass, and I bring the lead and all the things that I'm working with, all in my tools, and I bring it onto this workbench, and I work. Well, I can picture it. It says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And so I picture that God would put us on his workbench, and he's going to knock off all the crud in us, all of the unforgiveness and the grief and the stuff. And here's the problem. My glass doesn't have legs. It stays on the table. But we have legs. And God's not going to pin us down to the table to heal us. He's inviting us to come. He's not saying, you will be healed. You will let me carry this. No, he's saying, come. You want to be free from this junk? Come. My burden is light. Come and live. I want to invite the praise team to come up. And, you know, in Billy's great time of prayer this morning, I think was a prelude, as he said, to this sermon and this time. But, man, there is nothing to be ashamed of to know that we're carrying junk. Jesus said, come to me all. So I don't know about you, but that pretty much takes care of all of us. We all got our stuff, yes? And so there's nothing to be ashamed of to have our stuff. Where we struggle is when we say, I can do it myself. And so I invite you, the altar rail is open. You can, I know people, well, if I go up there, people, they'll wonder what I'm carrying, you know? Big, big deal. If anybody wonders. Man, this is a safe place. It's a safe place. So I invite you, the altar rail is open. There will also, at the end of the service, there will be some people here in front that will be have tags on it, say prayer team, and they would love to pray for you as well. But man, the invitation is from Christ. Come and live. Come and live. Let's stand as if you are able as we worship. Sorrow, heaven. The Lord, I believe, is longing for us to say, instead of, Lord, I can do it myself, He's saying, Lord, I can't do it. He's longing for us to say that. And when we say that, He says to us, come, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. That's good news, church. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.